Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. Galatians 4, 12 to 16 for our scripture. That's 1888. Let's begin. Brethren, like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached to you at the first. My trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That is the word of God. Listen to God's servant. Well, beloved in the Lord Jesus, faithful child of God listens to solid gospel pastors and embraces the full gospel he hears from them. He's not bothered if his pastor stutters, or if he's a little inarticulate sometimes, or even if he's a little boring sometimes. The faithful child of God knows truth and wants to listen to that truth because he loves truth. But there are times when the new shiny thing comes and it can pull faithful children away from God. Let me give you an example. In the 1990s, many harvest-type churches started popping up with their light teaching and their focus on relationships. And it tended to be quite lovey-dovey. They'll hug the daylights out of you. And many ran to them. And their pastors became more like psychologists. And that term, the felt needs of people, became prominent. So the pastor would try to cater for the felt needs or the needs people felt they had. Even some Reformed believers were drawn to those churches. And I'm generalizing, of course. There are good men, I'm sure, who lead in those churches. But with weakened doctrines and discipline becoming almost non-existent in those churches, those believers became weak. Yes, it looks like those churches grew quickly, and it appeared almost like there was a revival coming. Well, those preachers were really treating God and His Word with contempt. And in reality, they were harming the bride and dishonoring the bridegroom, and you will see why. The reason I raise that, because that was the situation that was occurring in Galatia at this time, and this is what you will hear about. First of all, we learn about God's servant, how he reminded them of that truth. That truth which was, secondly, the truth that God's servant received, and that truth which God's servants rejected. And our goals are that you will train your ears to discern God's gospel truth, that you will receive it and believe it, and then reject those who proclaim any other gospel than that which the Holy Spirit has revealed in God's Word. Remember what Apostle Paul said. If anyone preaches any other gospel than what you have heard, let him go to hell. Let him be anathema. Let him be cursed by God. Let's start talking then first about God's servant who reminded them of truth. Well, the Apostle Paul did not just write to the Galatians as a theologian. He did that. Sometimes he wrote to them as an angry father and said, "Who has bewitched you?" But then sometimes like this, he also talks as a pastor, as a brother. And look at how he begins here. Brothers, brothers, a personal approach in dealing with them. He could have used stronger words, but he didn't at this time. You see, his goal was to bring them out from where they had fallen. And there always is a way out from sin. It doesn't matter how far the church has backslidden. It doesn't matter how far you have backslidden. The Lord will provide a way back. And that's what he wanted to do, to win them back. He didn't want to give them what they deserved, because sin deserves death, separation. And we see here what a wise pastor the Apostle Paul was. Apostle Paul then urged the Galatians to become like he was. And this is where he gave them the reminder. And you don't see it directly. What does the Apostle Paul mean when he says in the verse, I want you to become like me. Become like I was. He was saying, I want you to become like I, to believe like I believe, living in freedom from works of to truly understanding that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He wasn't saying, look, I want you to be like I am in my moral character. Remember what he said in Romans 7. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do are the things I do. He wasn't saying, look, be as sinful as I am. He's saying, believe as I believe. Know what I know. That's what he's reminding them of. Go back to that point. But then he says another interesting thing. He says, well, remember, I became like you were. What does he mean there? He meant he came down to their level. In a social way, the Apostle Paul came down to their level. He went into their homes. He sat with them. He ate the food that they were eating. He had close contact with them. And there he said, you saw how I lived with you. That's how I want you to live with me now. I came down to your social level. I want you to come to my spiritual level. Showing he had given them something, and he expects something back as his children. You know, he always said to the Jew, he was a Jew. And here, to the Celts, he was a Celt. Look at in your sermon notes at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20 through 22, and let's read this together. Let's begin. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might be by all means save some. That I might by all means save some. He was able to empathize with their position, to go down to their level. When somebody did not understand the language properly, he took the time to explain things in a simpler way. That's what he meant, that he had gone down to their level. He wanted the Christians to become like he was in terms of what he believed. And he said, remember, I came down to your level to share that gospel with you. And then he also concluded and said, look, I don't hold this against you. I'm not bitter. He was not injured by what the Galatians had done to him when they had rejected what he had said. He realized the weakness of the flesh. And he had forgiven them. And therefore, what they did to him, he's saying, let that be put behind us. That's a good father. That's a good pastor. So what can we learn from this pastor and his reminder to them of what they believed in the beginning? Well, first of all, you must listen to preachers who are theologically sound, but also present encouragements and warnings to believers to live in a way that will please the Master. See, those who are theological but not applicatory are not helpful to Christ's cause. Theology by itself is unhelpful. It's got to be applied. And then, of course, those who are only applying things and teaching how you must live without showing the theological framework for that are not helpful either. Why should you do this? Well, you have to go back to the theology. Why should you not worry? It's because you've learned about God's sovereignty. And if God controls every creature and every action because He's your Heavenly Father who has the power and love for you, then you don't need to worry. You see, the doctrine has got to be applied. But if I were to say to you, oh, don't worry about things, just be nice and be happy, smile, do like Joseph Prince and Joel Osteen tell you, just be, think positive thoughts. I'd have to be cranking you up every day. And you wouldn't have the foundations to grow and to help other people. That's why you need sound preaching. Forget when they're inarticulate or when we stutter or when we're a little bit boring. Those are minor issues. Look for the big issues. Second, when you win people to Christ, you should desire that they believe like you do. That's important, that you just don't lead them to Christ and say, oh, you believe Jesus died on the cross for sin, that's it. Get involved. Time to show them the effects of that in your life. Take the time to teach them. Number three, be ready to forgive those who may have rejected the truths that you've taught them. If they ask for forgiveness, forgive them. Even if they don't ask forgiveness, don't become bitter that people don't do what you say. That will only destroy you. That will only make you cynical. That might make you not want to teach other people. The reality is, sometimes people don't care what you say. And don't let that take over you, because it will lead to anger and bitterness. And then fourth, be ready to use kind words even when teaching. You know, you can get a whole lot farther with someone when you call them brother. And you say, brother, consider this. Than if you say, you. You know, as pastors, when we meet with husband and wife who might be fighting, and you hear a husband says, I don't know what's wrong with her. You think, oh, brother, you know there's a problem. There's no closeness there. But if someone says, I don't know what's wrong with my wife or a relationship, and calls his wife by name, that shows already there's a closeness. And that's what the Apostle Paul does here. He says, brothers, brothers. And you get much farther in your teaching and restoration by the way you address each other. So let's go with what he's saying. He says, I want you to remember what I taught you at the beginning. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then he says in verse 13, how God's servants received what he said. Apostle Paul had preached to the Galatians the gospel of Jesus Christ, having to stop there in his travels because he fell sick. At that time, strange enough, malaria was very common in the Mediterranean area. Many people got sick. And if you ever seen someone with malaria, it doesn't look good. They're always shaking. It's a kind of violent shaking. The other disease that was popular at the time was an eye disease, which most historians believe that's what he had. There were a lot of eye diseases common at that time. It would cause swelling in the eye. It kind of looks gross. And Paul actually insinuates something like this at another time, but we won't get into that now. Point is, we don't know for sure. Whatever it was, he didn't look good. It kind of looked ugly. But when the Galatians saw him, they did not despise his condition, and they did not reject him. That's what the Apostle Paul said. You didn't reject me. That word reject is a nice English word, but it literally means you didn't spit out. And usually when someone had some really ugly disease, people would literally spit at them to keep them away. Or they will spit on the ground to show their disgust and disdain for that person. And he said, you didn't do that. You listened to what I said. You received the preaching of this gross-looking man with grace and with compassion. You know, they could have said to Apostle Paul, what are you talking about, a gospel? You are serving a God who has you looking like that. We don't want to listen to you because your God didn't heal you. But even then, they didn't do that. They listened to him and they received him. In fact, the Galatians received him as an angel of God. Even as Jesus Christ himself. You see, they didn't care about his weaknesses. They listened to his message. That's what God has called us to do. Read a couple of passages now. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, together. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. That word messenger is angel. Angel. The lips of the priest should keep knowledge. That's what God is saying would come from the mouths of his servants, his angels. The Apostle Paul was that angel that came from God to them. And that's what Jesus said as well. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 together. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So if you receive a faithful minister of the gospel, you are receiving Jesus Christ himself. And if you reject a faithful minister of the gospel, you are rejecting Christ. So let's learn three lessons. First of all, Christians aren't immune from physical and mental sickness. They can be caused by sin, or they can be part of God's refining power in people, causing them to become more dependent on him, or using it as a basis of reward for them, how you endure troubles. So don't ever assume somebody gets sick. You must have sinned. That is possible. But a lot of our sickness comes, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, because of serving Jesus Christ. And by the way, all the apostles, most of them died horrible deaths. Sickness, famine, beatings, all those terrible things that happened to them, because that was part of God's refining fire for them, or used as a basis of blessing them. But Christians do get sick. Christians do get heart disease and heart attacks. Christians do get cancer. Christians get all kinds of sicknesses. And sometimes it is in God's plan that they are not healed from them. And by the way, if no one got sick, how are you going to die? How are you going to go to heaven? It's one of the ways that God uses to take us to be with him. Second lesson. Now, there aren't apostles today. And an apostle has to be someone who's directly commissioned by Christ or one of his apostles. But what do we have? Well, you are called, just as the Galatians were, to receive the word of truth, which is proclaimed by faithful ministers, and receive it with fear and joy. Luke chapter 10, verse 16 says this, together, he who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. You don't listen to a faithful preacher, you're rejecting God in heaven. God help you if you do. When you receive the preacher, you're receiving God himself. Third lesson. Never decide whether to reject or believe a minister by virtue of his outward appearance or his accent or his degrees or his winsomeness
All of these are important. Is he dressed nicely? Then he must be serious. Or does he have that British accent? You know, in the South, people absolutely love a British accent. You could get away with a lot of things if you could speak with a British accent in the South. That's not what you look for. Listen to what he's saying. It's nice to have a great British accent, but if the words are coming and are not from the God himself, remember he says, let him be accursed. Or a man may not have a lot of degrees. You know, generally in our churches, you have to have a master's degree before you can even begin the process of being examined. And yet there are people who never went a day in seminary, and they can speak gospel truth like you would not believe. Listen. Listen to him. Now, what about winsomeness? I mean, which preacher you know is more charming than Joel Osteen and Joseph Prince? Those are, you listen to them and they're just so wonderful. They speak so eloquently, got the greatest stories, and people can get sucked in. And then you listen, particularly for Joel Osteen. He wouldn't know the gospel if it hit him in the head. And yet, that's where people are drawn. Be warned about that, that you don't be pulled in by the winsomeness of the character, but by the gospel that he proclaims. So let's look at the third point. The Apostle Paul said, you know what I told you, and I remember how well you received it. You received it with joy. You didn't even care what I looked like. You lived the gospel. But then verse 15 happens. God's servants rejected that gospel. The Apostle Paul said it almost seemed like they never really enjoyed the blessing they actually received. And these people had lived the gospel. They had showed the gospel. How did they show it? How did they show they really understood the nature of man and the holiness of God and the work of Jesus Christ? That news was so good for them. The Apostle Paul said, you would have plucked out your eyes. Now, I would give up a lot of parts of my body if I really had to. But one of the last ones, as bad as my eyes are, these are probably two of the last things I'd want to give away. And he said, you'd be willing to give that one, things you hold so precious, if I asked you for them, because you heard the message of life from me. They loved men and they loved God. And then suddenly, they rejected that gospel. Why? Because the new and shiny thing came. Apostle Paul said, you're now acting like my enemy. Because the new and shiny thing came, you've tossed me aside. To the Galatians, the Apostle Paul had become, kind of stale. I have been actually asked by someone not here anymore to change up my sermons to make it more consumer friendly. That people won't get tired. Now, there's always room for improvement, no doubt. But the essential substance of the gospel can never change. They just chose something like the new harvest-type churches. They put a little more emphasis on the work of man and a little bit more on the feelings of how one felt about oneself. And you know, that's how the Jews had treated John the Baptist. When he came out, he was the newest thing in town and they were ready to listen to him until they lost interest. John chapter 5 verse 35 says this, together, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. And then something else came. And then suddenly Jesus was there and they said, he gives us food. We're going over there. He gives us fish and bread. And no wonder Jesus constantly said when he healed people, don't tell anyone about it. Because his emphasis was on the bread for the soul. And they were thinking, we can get healing here. We can get food. Who knows what next he will bring for us. And that's how fickle people can become, when a new shiny minister shows up, or the more popular things. So many people were sucked in by New Covenant theology in the 90s and early 2000s. Or about long day creation, that, or federal vision. You're kind of saved by your faithfulness more than by faith. One new doctrine, something pops up and can pull people in. The Apostle Paul is warning about that. We have some applications for us. First of all, as strong and true as you may be as a believer, you can fall into great deception just like the Galatians did. So don't become arrogant. What do you need to do? You need to daily nourish yourself with the word of truth, preached by faithful men, so you can stay strong. And when you stand up and are nourished and are strong, the winds of doctrines and new things that come will not move you. You will hold firm to what you believe. Look at Psalm 141, verse 5. Together, let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Ah, he was willing to take the punches of correction from the faithful man, rather than have his ears tickled by the faithless one. Second, it is often said that the one who speaks the truth never gets rich. And there's a large measure of truth to that. Even in the church, it's risky business to speak the truth because someone may be hurt. And someone gets upset and leaves the church. And then the income of the church goes down. And there are difficulties there. And that has pushed pastors to tickle people's ears. But we are called to speak the truth. We must speak it in love. But we are called to speak the truth. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. Two passages. Ephesians 4:15 together. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. 2 Timothy 4:2 together. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Third lesson, as an elder or minister, you're not to stop speaking God's truth even if people don't like it. You are a servant of God first before you are a servant of the people. Do it in love. Speaking truth is never a sign of hate. That truth is spoken in love, and you must do it. Fourth, a note for parents. Don't get angry when your children get angry when you teach them the truth. Your children are not hating you. They're really hating the message, which limits them. They're really angry with God because God is the one putting restrictions upon them for their own good, but they don't always agree. What you should do is pray for them. Pray that they will bow their knee to their Heavenly Father. And in five, how sad it is to hear the words of Christ and to shut his lips. How that is important to remember. Those who hear the words of Christ and shut his lips. Now, they can't shut Christ's lips directly, but they can shut his servants' lips when they reject what that minister says. But you should open his mouth. Listen to what his lips say. Receive it with joy. Let's conclude. The Galatians looked to and listened to the Apostle Paul, even with his vile sickness. They believed what he said, and they knew he was a servant of the true and living God. But the new and shiny gospel came. That one that said, you must play a part in your salvation. You contribute. You are special. So they soon brushed him aside for the newer doctrines. And the Apostle Paul then called them back to what they first believed. And you can say it together with me, salvation was by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, what do you want to leave here with? First of all, don't allow yourself to be lured away by the newest shiny preacher and the newest shiny doctrines that come your way. Remember the pure, full gospel you had when you believed. Hold on to it dearly. You can't go wrong doing that. Second, daily increase that knowledge by diving regularly into the word of truth. Join the Bible reading group you have, and I'm sure Elder Leo will say amen to that. You see, when you do these things, you will mature and you'll get stronger and stronger, and you won't be easily blown down by every wind of doctrine. And then third, disperse the same gospel to the world. The world is still trying to save itself by its good works, or at least help save itself by its good works in some kind of weird cooperation with God so they can get some of the credit. No, expose the weakness of that philosophy and point the world to Christ, who came and secured totally for us our salvation. In him we were chosen, elected. In him we were called. In him we were justified. In him we were sanctified. In him we will be glorified. Spread the word from every home. You know, it's like when someone's cooking a good curry in their garage and the whole neighborhood smells. That's nice. But one other fragrance that needs to come is the fragrance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That will be seen in your attitudes, in your actions, in your kind words, the way you live your life. That the neighborhood will be blessed in an even greater way with the savor of the gospel. And finally, today as God's servant, I tell you to ask God for the rich salvation he offers in Jesus Christ. Don't spend another day in abject poverty. Don't try to earn your salvation or help earn your salvation. You can't do it. Receive salvation for free if you simply ask God for it. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words again. Thank you for nourishing our souls with it. Yes, in some ways it is a rebuke, but it's also an encouragement for those who are doing well. That we will continue to spend time in your word and hold on firmly to the doctrine of our salvation, and not be drawn away by those who might be popular, who might be flashy, but who water down or totally avoid the truth of the gospel. Hear us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.